Chapter 15. Principles. Caliban. Astolan was curious about Luther's choice of venue to meet Belath. For the most part, the Grand Master of the Order conducted his business from his study, from which he had dispatched Zahariel and Astolan earlier that day. Cloistering himself away from the public galleries and halls of state gave the impression that Luther was not seeking aggrandizement, a simple administrator tending to the needs of Caliban until the Lion returned. Instead of that small chamber, Luther had instructed his first master to bring their arrival to the Hall of Desemiel, near to the gates of the Angelicaster. It was barely used except for occasional traditional feast days, on which nominated warriors of the order were recognized by invitation to sit at the tables and banquet with their officers. When he entered, Astolan's questions were immediately answered. The tables had been removed and the benches set aside to form a corridor down the length of the hall. At the far end, the great ebon throne of the Lion had been set on a shallow wooden stage. Before it, just to its right-hand side on the stone floor, a much smaller chair was set. Luther waited in the chair while chapter masters and captains filled the benches, straining to see the new arrival. It was perfect theatre. Had it been the Lion returning, all was set to fate his homecoming. As it was, the scene laid before Belath was one of patient dedication to service, awaiting that majestic return. It was as though Luther always sat on that chair, like a loyal hound missing the foot of his master, pining for the day of reunion. Astolan stepped across the threshold between the two massive doors, the portal made of wood from ancient trees carved with twin likenesses of the Dark Angel. The winged, monkish figure that some claimed represented the Emperor as he had been clad when he led the First Legion in secret. Astolan doubted that. Others thought it was the Angel of Death, and this Astolan could well believe, an incarnation of the nature of the warriors created by the Emperor's will. Whatever its meaning, its lineage was from the Legion and not the Order, one of the few Dark Angel's trappings that had survived the last 70 years of gradual maintenance and replacement by Luther's men. The same was true inside. The banners that hung from the ceiling, the victory honours that adorned the walls, the trophies brought from worlds conquered before Caliban had been discovered. A legion space protected in the heart of the Angelicaster like an insect preserved in amber. A nod towards that allegiance, while all around in the titles and hierarchy, in the oaths and battle doctrine, the Order had essentially returned to replace the Dark Angels. Its presence brought another realization. The masquerade perpetrated by the arrangement of the hall had been long considered. Long enough, in fact, that Luther had ensured that the door itself remained as a mask in legion tradition, so that any that approached would think nothing had changed. It was the seed from which the Legion could be reborn if necessary, the last vestige of fealty to Terra and its superhuman son, installed as ruler of Caliban. It reminded Astolan that Luther had been expecting the return of the Primarch for a long time. How would such a weight prey upon the nerves and ambitions of a man? Belath entered next, announced loudly by Astolan. He came to an abrupt halt as the occupants of the benches rose to their feet with a cheer and applauded. He looked left and right, his expression warring between confusion and delight. Zahariel lingered beyond the door and had said nothing for the remainder of the journey into the Angelicaster. He stayed several paces back as Astolan gestured for Belath to continue, escorting the chapter master from just a stride behind. Luther rose from his seat and held up his arms for quiet. The seemingly spontaneous outpouring of appreciation for the Lion's returning noble son died away.
"We offer gratitude and tribute to our returning hero," the Grand Master declared. "Too long have we been bereft of the company of our brothers that set abroad upon the Emperor's crusade. Now brought back to us, let us listen keenly to the tales of war he brings, and laud his triumphs."
There was another roar of approval and burst of applause, which hastened Belath's stride. By the time he had reached Luther at the far end of the hall, the chapter master looked exceptionally ill at ease. Astolan watched him closely, enjoying Belath's discomfort. The greater the outpouring of praise, the more Belath shrank back from it.
"Master Luther," Belath said over the din, "I had hoped my arrival would not be conspicuous. I communicated as much." "You must forgive the enthusiasm of your brothers," Luther replied, signaling for the audience to fall silent again.
When they had done so, he continued,
"We have been forced to share only vicariously in the deeds of the Legion, and wish to honour you." "I have news that is to be passed to your ear alone," Belath said in a low voice, "grave tidings of a galaxy at war."
"I see."
The Grand Master's smile was replaced with a solemn look. He turned his attention to the gathered officers.
"Our brother is quite overwhelmed by your appreciation, Lords of Caliban. We will feast his return in proper fashion and in due course, but for the moment, please return to your duties. And remember, do not let your warriors fall to gossip and idle chatter. Announcements will be forthcoming, but in the meantime, they are not to be distracted from their training and the work at hand."
As the legionaries filed away, one from their group detached from the parting mass, Lord Cypher. Luther sat down again as the guardian of the order stood at his left shoulder. No word had been given, but Luther did not spare his advisor a second glance.
"Zahariel, Astolan," he called as they turned to depart, "I require your attendance for a while longer." "My instruction was to deliver my message to you alone, Lord Luther," said Belath, darting an angry look at Zahariel in particular. "This is my command circle, my trusted lieutenants. There is nothing you will tell me that I would not have them here, so let us not waste time by making me your herald." "No offense was intended, Master Luther," Belath said hurriedly. "None was taken. It is simply a matter of expediency, brother," Luther said cordially. His tone changed in an instant, eyes narrowing. "Does the lion still live?"
To Astolan's surprise, and that of Luther, judging by his expression, Belath did not have a ready answer. He swallowed hard and looked away for a moment.
"We believe so."
"Believe?" Luther leaned forward on the arms of his chair.
"Who believes what?" "What do you know already?" Belath asked, again avoiding a direct answer as he had earlier. "Of Horus and the rebellion."
"Little enough," Luther admitted with a frown. "Hearsay, rumour. Horus and his sons have turned against the Emperor, and some of the other legions also. We have heard nothing solid since the warp storms engulfed us, just little morsels gleaned from those that came unbidden to our domain. But I assume that they are related."
"Of that I can't say definitively, but it can't be coincidence. It is not just Caliban that is isolated. The warp is in turmoil the length and breadth of the galaxy. How it answers to the command of Horus..." "The truth is," Belath shook his head, "there is very little truth to be told these days. I will tell you only of what I have been told by Corswain, or have witnessed myself."
"Corswain?"
Lord Cypher stepped closer.
"The name sounds familiar, but I cannot place it."
"A Captain Paladin," said Luther.
"I met him briefly when our ships were taken by the Ninth Order at Zaramund. A fine young warrior, very promising, an excellent bladesman."
"Not Paladin any longer. He is the Lion Seneschal now."
"My replacement?"
Luther's brow furrowed deeper, and he drew in his cheeks. After a moment, he relaxed and nodded.
"It was inevitable, I suppose, that the lion would need a second in my absence."
"More than that, it has transpired," said Belath.
He stepped from side to side, gathering his thoughts. His gaze swept across the other space marines.
"The situation is dire. Horus planned his rebellion well. The Salamanders and Raven Guard are all but destroyed. The Iron Hands, the Gorgon, is dead, slain by the blade of Fulgrim. The Night Lords, the Word Bearers, the World Eaters, they have all sided with the traitor. The Iron Warriors also."
Luther swallowed hard. Zahariel's frown deepened. It was almost impossible to envisage.
to think that perhaps the Imperium had collapsed. More than ever, Caliban and those on the world needed to look to their own efforts and fortunes.
"The lion," said Astolan.
This was startling news, but he could barely contain his impatience. "What of the lion?"
"We fought the Night Lords in the sectors around Thramas. The lion and the Night Haunter almost killed each other."
Belath grimaced at the thought.
"Too much to say. So many battles and dead brothers. We caught the Night Lords in one final ambush, and then the lion had to leave."
"Leave?" This time it was Luther who could not suppress his agitation, sliding to the front of his chair.
"Leave what?"
"Corswain told me that the Primarch had received news from the east, beyond the storms. Gilliman gathered all his strength to Ultramar. For all we know, terror has fallen to Horus, the Emperor dead by his son's hand. So some believe, Gilliman included, it seems."
"You make no sense, Belath," said Lord Cypher. "Speak plainly of what happened."
"The lion departed, splitting the legion."
Belath sighed at the recollection.
"He abandoned thoughts of saving Terra to bring Gilliman back to the righteous path. He left Corswain in charge, but we fared badly, fighting against elements of the Death Guard."
"Mortarion has turned as well?"
"I cannot confirm that. Our foe was Kallas Typhon. He still wars against Corswain and 30,000 brothers, or did so when we left."
Luther seemed more intrigued than surprised by this announcement. Belath continued, oblivious to the Grand Master's reaction.
"Corswain dispatched me with transports to bring more warriors to the campaign. 20 transports, each large enough to carry 1,500 warriors.
30,000 space marines," Astolan nodded in appreciation. "That would swing any war in your favor."
"Our favor," added Lord Cypher, a little too quickly, perhaps. Belath looked strangely at Astolan.
"The recruits are ready, yes? You have been training and arming as the lion instructed?"
"A mighty host stands ready," said Luther.
"You seem reluctant, Master Luther," said Belath. "Is there a problem?"
"I hope not," replied the Grand Master.
He stood up, forcing the Chapter Master back a step. He did not speak for several seconds, seeming reluctant to say what was on his mind, his eyes roaming across the banners and trophies, as if seeking inspiration.
"I want to believe you, Belath. I really do."
"I don't understand."
The new arrival looked at Astolan first, and quickly realized he would gain no support from that quarter. His gaze moved to Lord Cypher.
"You have known me since I first took up a bolter. Why do you hold your tongue?"
Lord Cypher said nothing, and it was left to Astolan to give voice to the thought that vexed Luther.
"You are probably telling the truth, Belath. At least some of it. Horus and many others have turned. The First Legion might well be divided. How are we to know who holds your allegiance? What guarantee can you offer that the troops we dispatch will not be led into a trap and annihilated? Or worse?"
"Worse," said Luther.
"Turned," Astolan said quietly. "I do not know how many were lured from the Emperor by Horus, but it is no small number, evidently. Some promises might sway even a son of Caliban to a new cause."
"This is preposterous,"
Belath rounded on Astolan, jabbing an accusing finger.
"You seek to settle an old grievance at the expense of the Legion." "Do I not have cause for grievance, Belath?"
said Astolan, recalling events several decades earlier.
"Was it not you that reported to the Lion that I had failed to control the situation at Byzanthus? You blamed me for your own bloody meddling, and the Lion was only too willing to listen."
"You question my loyalty, Meria Astolan?"
The words were spat through gritted teeth.
"Your insubordination was no secret, even before I was tasked with monitoring you." "We know how loyalty to the Lion is rewarded, don't we?"
snarled Astolan, directing the comment towards Zahariel. I would ask Brother Nemil, but he cannot answer. Astolan is right, said the Master of the Mistai. There is nothing we can trust beyond the walls of Alderuk. Old oaths are meaningless in this new reality. The Lion may have allied with Gilliman and abandoned Terra and us, or he may return at the head of Horus's armies. We can be sure of nothing.
You can be sure of Corswain, Belath declared, gasping the words as a drowning man snatches down lungfuls of air.
Do any of you doubt his heart and loyalty? Silence answered the question.
There is only one way to be sure, Luther spoke quietly, the echo of argument fading down the massive hall. The Grand Master gestured towards Zahariel and then looked at Belath.
We can at least determine what you believe is the truth, if you are willing.
Belath looked with disgust at the former librarian, doubtless recalling his earlier brutal intrusion into the chapter master's thoughts. Returning his attention to Luther, he saw no compromise or room for appeal in the Grand Master's stare. Lip curling with disdain, Belath nodded his acquiescence.
This is an outrage, he whispered. The honor of you all is stained by this act, but mine will remain pure. Do what you must, mind thief.
Zaharia looked to Luther for confirmation and received a nod of affirmation. This time he did not lay hands on Belath, but simply stared at him, the pupils of his eyes glowing bright gold.
Think of Corswain, the Master of the Mistai instructed, of your purpose in coming here.
Belath met the Psyker's gaze, and for a moment the face of Zahariel was reflected in his eyes. The chapter master's facial muscles relaxed, and his look became glazed for a few seconds. Far sooner than Astolan expected, Zahariel closed his eyes, the golden shimmer beneath them quickly dimming. When he opened them again, they had taken on their normal hue.
All that he has told us is true, Zahariel said. The war with the Nightlords, the Lion's departure, Corswain's campaign against Kallus Typhon. The transports came hence from Terra Nullius, a world that has chosen neither the Emperor nor the Warmaster as ruler.
This last piece of information had been gleaned almost by accident, but it was reassuring to learn of the existence of another world seeking to distance itself from the two sides of the storm engulfing the galaxy. There was something else, but Zahariel caught himself before saying it. Instead, the Master of the Mistai took a step back, bowing his head.
Satisfied, spat Belath, glaring at Luther. Any fresh humiliation you wish to heap upon me?
I must offer my humblest, deepest apologies, replied the Grand Master.
He sank to one knee before Belath, bowing his head in contrition as a neophyte might make atonement to his sergeant-at-arms. He glanced sidelong at Lord Cypher and Astolan, the look unseen from where Belath stood over Luther.
If the Lion has passed his authority to Corswain, then we shall heed the word of the Seneschal as though it were that of the Primarch himself.
Astolan latched quickly to the Grand Master's approach.
I shall begin the mustering of the troops, Chapter Master, he said, fist raised to his chest in salute. We are honored to rejoin the Legion at long last.
You are mistaken, said Belath.
He laid a hand on Luther's shoulder, a gesture of forgiveness. The Chapter Master said nothing until Luther was standing again.
Corswain does not rescind the orders of the Lion. The recruits will leave under my command. The stewardship of Caliban remains your duty to bear, Master Luther.
Of course it does, the Grand Master said without hesitation.
He half turned to the great doors and held a hand out towards them.
Quarters have been assigned for you.
That will also not be necessary. I will return to my ship to ensure all is in order to receive the troops.
I will escort, Astolan began,
but fell silent at a look from Luther.
Belath is capable of finding transportation back to his gunship, said the Grand Master. We have intruded on his time enough for now.
As you command, I will await communication from the fleet, Master Belath.
Belath said nothing, giving each of them a sour look as he departed. They watched until the double doors closed behind him.
"We have to kill him," Astolan said quickly.
Zahariel barely noticed the chapter master's departure, wrapped up in his own thoughts. Astolan's remark brought him back to the present.
"Why?"
said the master of the Mistai.
"A harsh judgment, First Master," said Lord Cipher. "You are swift to order execution for little reason."
"Belath was correct, First Master," Zahariel said. "You are letting your hate skew your judgment."
"An interesting analysis, coming from one that only an hour ago was trying to rip the man's mind from his brain,"
Astolan replied with a derisive snort.
"Why are you so keen to see him live?"
"Nobody is to be killed."
Luther's hand cut the air with a chopping motion as his words cut the argument. The Grand Master frowned at Astolan and Zahariel before he sat down, forcing the others to wait in silence while he gathered his thoughts.
"They are our battle brothers. The ships are in orbit and we are down here. Belath is our only conduit for the moment. He will have a company of warriors with him at most, enough to command his flotilla, but no more will have been spared the fighting by Corswain. After recent expansions, we have enough space in the dungeons for a few more internees, do we not?"
"Certainly," said Lord Cipher. "We must also bear in mind that Belath and most of his companions are from Caliban. They may not be opposed to our aims."
"And what are your aims exactly?" asked Astolan.
"We might ask the same of you," countered Lord Cipher.
"Our aim is clear," declared Luther. "We seek to secure the safety and future of Caliban and the Order."
"And you think that parting from the Imperium is the way to achieve that?"
said the First Master. He shook his head.
"What do you think a single word can do against a galaxy of foes?"
"The Imperium has already ended," said Luther. "Belath's words confirmed our suspicions. Even if the Emperor still lives and rules, Horus wages war on the Imperium. It has broken from within. We cannot choose a side unless we are certain that it will be victorious.
Tell me, First Master, can you guarantee that the Emperor will be victorious?"
"You cannot. No more than we can count upon Horus to prevail in this struggle."
"Both sides are likely to exhaust themselves," Lord Cipher added, stepping back to his customary position at Luther's left shoulder. "The Grand Master is correct. Caliban must be strong enough alone. Borrowed power is no power at all."
"If we send away 30,000 warriors, we have less than half that number left to defend the system,"
Astolan pointed out.
"We cannot possibly comply with Corswain's demand and retain the force of arms needed to defend our world."
Astolan was about to continue, but there was something Zahariel had to confirm for himself. He held up a hand, and the First Master paused to allow Zahariel to speak.
"It is important that we all understand one thing and are united by this purpose, even if our opinions differ on other matters," said the Psyker. "Is there any among us not willing to break our oaths to the Lion? Are we of single mind that the Primarch does not deserve our allegiance?"
The question hung in the air for a few seconds. Astolan was the first to answer it.
"Need I really say it out loud again? I owe the Lion nothing. We each have been wronged by him that we thought our greatest brother," Luther said slowly, "either directly or by his absence, his undue chastisement has been laid upon us all. I would also say this, and this is just as important, we cannot be dark angels any longer. They are a weapon of terror, the sons of the Lion."
"The Order has been restored in all but name. What difference does it make?" said Astolan.
"A great difference," answered Lord Cipher. "The Order stands alone. If we are not dark angels, they are outsiders, enemies."
These words dragged heavily at Zahariel's thoughts. It was one thing to turn his back on the Lion, who had banished him from the Great Crusade and slain his cousin. It was another matter to reject the Legion that had taught him how to harness his powers, turned him into the warrior he was. Then he remembered Caliban's soul, denied and chained by those same doctrines and dogma. To serve this higher purpose, Zahariel had to be free of all other loyalties. Foremost amongst his thoughts had to be the preservation of Caliban and the liberation of the force contained within the planet's core. The Dark Angels had no part in such a task. "I am the master of the Mystai, servant of the Order," Zahariel declared. He raised a fist. "You are the Grand Master." Lord Cypher silently followed suit. Luther stood and did the same. All eyes turned to Astolan. The Terran looked at each of them for a while, the outsider. He smiled as he lifted his fist in salute. "I have served many masters under many names. Above all, I am an angel of death. Now I wear the mantle of First Master of the Order, subject to your command, Tsar Luther." They all accepted this occasion in thoughtful silence, their salutes to each other saying more than words could convey. Eventually, Luther lowered his fist and sat down. "Whether the war goes for the Emperor or against, these storms in the warp will not last forever. Preparations need to be made, precautions and measures taken. The path you have chosen may bring allies, but few friends," warned Astolan. "It will certainly make enemies. The thing you seek, the protection of Caliban, must be greater than any other consideration. Any other consideration, Grandmaster. Are you willing to do whatever is needed?" It was clear what the First Master was implying. Luther said nothing, but Lord Cypher spoke quietly, barely heard from beneath his hood. "Whoever wins the war, they will come. In seeking independence from both, we bring jeopardy to that which we desire, the protection of Caliban."
"Caliban must be free," Zahariel replied. "The protection offered by subservience to others is an illusion. Walls not to deter invaders, but to keep prisoners within."
Luther broke his silence eventually, his eyes staring into the distance, his words calm but firm.
"I more fear what is within me than what comes from without. But if my principles are righteous, any action that stems from them must be virtuous."
The key slid effortlessly into its lock with a satisfying metallic click, perfectly matched even centuries after both had been made. The lock itself and the door within which it sat were only visible to Zahariel's second sight. Any ungifted resident of the Angelicaster would pass by the unremarkable stretch of wood-panelled wall without pause. Already assured by his psychic sense that no such interloper was near enough to witness the act, the Master of the Mystai pushed at the wood with a gloved hand, the door opening silently on beautifully counterweighted hinges. The precision that had gone into the construction of the chamber was something that gave him a profound sense of pleasure. It told him of a mind that had, by necessity, paid attention to the most minor details. Its designer had been aware of the consequences of even the slightest deviation from strictly defined parameters of safety and acceptance. The mind of a psyker. The rest of the Mystai followed Zahariel into the chamber, padding on slippered feet. The floor was a single mass of granite, nearly black. Inset were golden symbols and hexagrammatic polygonal patterns. The walls were marble, covered with a tracery of lead in convoluted warding shapes. The Mystai took up position at the cardinal points of the hexagram, one at every other line of the star, Zahariel at their center. To Zahariel's awakened senses, the spirit of Caliban lapped at the psychic defenses, held at bay as a sea resisted by a cliff. Above, as though the chamber had been opened to the sky by the sigils on the floor, the warp roiled and burned, the storm that had beset it raging in a tempest. Never the two should meet, such was the intent and design of the room. A place of sanctuary, where the Mystai could study and practice and grow their powers, watching the warp, tapping into its energies without the pull of Caliban. Without the call of the Ouroboros singing in their ears. Zahariel could hear it, a delicate song of life and beauty, touched with the melancholy of isolation and loneliness. An autumn song, fearing the coming of winter, remembering the long days of summer. This chamber was a gathering place, not for psychers, but for power. The sigils channeled and refined the warp energy seeping through the room. With Caliban's hunger held at bay, it could be tapped without the two energies ever conjoining. For an age, Caliban had craved this connection. The Ouroboros had spent an immortal life seeking reunion with the realm from which it had been stolen. The secret had been here all along, hidden behind walls of stone and symbols of lead, a vault impenetrable from the outside. Zahariel opened his mind, letting free the piece of the Ouroboros he had brought with him. Spring would come to Caliban again. Like a seed, the psychic remnant took root, spreading out into the minds of the other Mystai. They resisted at first, as had Zahariel. Human fear, primal and unbreakable, lashed out. But the Ouroboros fed on the warp, drinking deep of the power denied it for so long. Defences erected by the crude catechisms of Israfael and his ilk were no match for the will of Caliban. Swiftly, one after the other, the Mystai let in the power of Caliban, opening eyes and thoughts to the majesty of their world. There was a brief flicker of resistance, an unconscious reflex from Vasago. Growing within the barrier, the Ouroboros exerted its power. The lead on the walls started to melt, running from the etched channels, the tracery of barrier runes evaporating as psychic force assailed it within and without. As the cliff must eventually crash down under the constant gnawing of the sea, so the warding symbols failed, the wash of Caliban's power flowing into the breach. Zahariel laughed as the energy infused his body. His disciples laughed with him. "Brothers," he told them, opening eyes that shone with emerald green light. "Now you share my vision, my purpose." "The will of Caliban be done," they replied.